the Dad Mods Media Machine presents the Brews with the Dudes podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of Brews with the Dudes podcast. I am Jake Lindquist. The other guy will arrive in a moment. He is fetching beer. I don't know which number this is. This is one of the podcasts, the next in line to the one that was prior and before the one that is next. And here is the man with the bluest of moons, Donnie Allen. Do we need twisties? Do we need pops off
these things? These are twisties.
These are McTwisties. Nice. Heck yeah. Need a beer after the week.
God.
After the month.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know about you guys. Have you ever bit off more than you can chew?
Yeah, that about sums up all of March.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh my God. So we have a new dog. As if have a new dog.
Everybody has new dogs.
Everyone has new dogs because apparently everybody follows trends. Like, it's just the thing. So I have a 2.5-year-old, probably 2 and 9-month-old. I don't have the math in my head. It's somewhere around there.
You don't keep track in weeks?
It's very close. God, it blows my mind when people do that.
Yeah, like my son's
55 weeks. So yeah, exactly. And then my daughter is just over 6 months. So it's already a hectic household. Plus, we've got a little dog.
Yeah.
We got a puppy. Which is both the best time and the worst time to have a puppy.
It is, because your daughter... It's the best time because your daughter is literally going to grow up
with the dog. Older than the dog.
Yeah. Your daughter's going to grow up with the dog, which is fantastic. And so is Atticus.
Mm-hmm.
But now, not only do you have a diaper and a half to change, because Atticus is going through potty training.
That's correct, yeah.
You also have random piles of shit on the floor to pick up.
Well.
And all that.
Because my wife is such a rock star, she has taken it because basically, like, this dog, it's a foster situation, so it's sort of a foster to adopt, meaning that we went through a foster agency here in town. I would give them a shout if I could remember what their name is. I'll have to text her so I can give them a shout out, because they're actually a wonderful organization. And so it's sort of like a test the waters. Like, he'll live with us for the time being, and we'll keep him if it all works out. So it's sort of like you can test drive the poor thing.
It's very nice, but at the same time, it's like, I know personally I would get emotionally attached. Like,
that is 100% happened.
You know, like, you have this little dude hanging out with you now.
And it was one of those things where it's like the previous foster family, because these are all Texas dogs. Most of them are coming from Texas, because apparently in Texas, nobody neuters their dogs. There's also a lot of dog fighting down there, so some are like full-blown rescues.
Holy shit.
And a lot of them are just scooped up off the street, or there's like a mama that gives birth basically in an alley or something like that.
We don't know what to do with this.
Like, oh my God, these poor dogs. And there's a handful that end up in their pounds down there, and they have a lot of kill shelters. God. It's like mostly kill shelters down there because there's so many dogs, which is heartbreaking. Got these things that they're just up here. They get scooped up in an instant, but down there, because there's just such an abundance,
nobody has space for them. And
yeah. So here comes this pooch up to us, and he... At the previous place, he was basically potty trained, he was under a year.
So basically potty trained. Does that mean he just shits by the back door? He doesn't go out, but he'll shit by it.
It was like he has an accident in the house every once in a while kind of thing.
Okay, that's not bad then.
Right. That. Size, like, he's probably going to be a little bigger than I was hoping for. So it's kind of a lot of those concessions that I had to make, because early on I was like, no puppies. I wanted as close to a year old as possible, or a little bit older than that, so that it's basically like established, but you know,
it knows it goes outside. It knows better than to jump on kids, all that kind of jazz.
And I know that, like, that's going into it with like a lot of expectations, but I just knew that it's tough enough just having two little ones at that age, so close in age, both still a handful, you know, like Lumen's going to be a handful for a long time, and Atticus isn't changing anything anytime soon.
He's just a ball of energy.
He is. So all of that, I didn't want to have a little puppy. Well,
you
it turns out
puppy.
He arrives and they're like, oh, by the way, he's only like 13 weeks old. And, you know, so he's like 3.5 months. And immediately he pisses in the house, which I figure, OK, there's got to be like some transition stuff going on.
Yeah,
here.
He's nervous and scared and all that. And
first 3 to 4 days, he is still peeing in the house. And it's just, it's a mess. And so, like, I had, especially Monday and Tuesday, a very, very rough start to the week because I'm already completely worn out. My wife has so much more, she's built for caring for things better than I am. So she just, like, she rises to the occasion. And so I'm melting down and I'm like, I don't think we can keep this dog. I'm like, I don't know if we can pull this off. Like, a lot of things got to change. And because I kind of took on a lot of the responsibility of the dog and whatnot, and just the way that schedules are set up in the house, it was a lot for me to handle on top of working because she's currently unemployed because the whole pandemic bullshit.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, like no problem. And just like jumps right in.
She's like, I got
and
this.
On top of raising these two handful kids, she is like juggling that and getting this dog outside and potty training him.
Damn.
And so I have a really rough Tuesday and basically was like, I can't do this. This, I can't have this dog here. Like, it's just, it's too much chaos. I can't work and hear him cry. I can't come home to just disarray and chaos. And then my wife tells me like, she's basically figured out communication with him, and he tells her when he needs to pee now.
No shit.
Like, she's figured this dog out.
So does she want to come stay at our house for a week and figure out our shit?
I don't know if she's just, like, the female Caesar Milan. Like, she's the cracker-ass Caesar Milan chick. I don't know. But, yeah, so she's, like, turning into, like, the dog whisperer and figuring him out. And, like,
that's awesome.
Literally the second half of that day, I come into chaos and she's like, oh, fuck, I'm sorry. Like, I meant to kind of pick up and stuff like that because I know you're stressed about this. On top of, like, taking care of the kids, she's, like, feeling bad about not cleaning up a little bit. And, yeah, so she tells me all of this good news after I just basically, like... just have like a meltdown. I had a rough day at work. And then on top of it, it was just like disarray. And I was like, I can't do this. We can't hang on to this dog. I love him to death, but it's just not working. And then she goes on to tell me that like, oh, but all these things and it's working out really good.
This.
And then I watched it for myself and it was like, shit, you're right. So my wife has just been amazing with this whole thing, and ever since it's been just night and day difference.
That's impressive.
Going great.
That you pretty much have him potty trained in like a week.
She's got him figured out, and if you leave him in the house, because there's a lot of false alarms of him kind of whimpering or whatever, and we're figuring out exactly what he needs. It's kind of like with kids, you got to figure out like, what does this cry mean?
Yeah.
Like, they have different sounds. They have different affect changes.
Body
and
languages,
whatever.
All that fun stuff.
Exactly. And dogs are... this dog apparently is the exact same way. But, yeah, he's, like, telling her now. Like, she'll go up and she'll be like, do you need to go potty? And he'll bark. And she'll cool. Okay. And she'll take him outside. And he'll pee immediately. So...
you're going to come home one day and he's going to be using the toilet upstairs. You're gonna be like, do you need to go pee? And you're gonna see him trot upstairs and you're gonna hear the sound of the seat coming up and he's just gonna do his business.
No shit. Well, if that's the case, then my wife needs to start being a dog trainer and just give up on being an accountant.
And, like I said, I'd be more than happy to pay for her to come over here and help us out.
Yeah, fucking. Yeah, so you got a new dog.
If you can call him a dog.
Yeah.
He's technically a dog, but he's the size of a Mini Cooper.
that's such a perfect comparison.
Yeah,
because he is basically like a classic Mini Cooper.
Yeah,
I mean if you're talking about the new Mini Coopers, those are like the size of an S10 now.
Yeah, that's true. I'm talking classic Mini Cooper though. He probably
he might weigh more.
I could see. Yeah, definitely does better in the snow.
Big dog.
Yeah, so we ended up picking up a puppy.
Yeah.
I use that term as loosely as possible. He's 11 months old. 110 pounds, and he's a purebred St. Bernard.
Yeah.
And he's just a gentle giant. Like, he just wants to cuddle.
He's giant. He's definitely giant.
He is over-the-top friendly in every way possible, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't realize, like, that kid is 20 pounds, 25 pounds.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
I'm four times his size. I'm going to paw him because I want him to pet me, and he just clobbers the shit out of him.
Oh, yeah, I suppose, because he's got no finesse, really.
Not yet.
So when that paw comes up, it's just...
Yeah, it's like, hey, you, and kid goes down. So we're enrolling him in training. He does pretty well in the house. He doesn't really tell us when he has to go out,
mm-hmm.
but he's having less accidents in the house, which is nice. But we're also...
That's good.
He doesn't stay in the house yet. He's outside a lot, especially because it's springtime, and mm-hmm. they like cold weather. So he actually gets kind of panty in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's inside kind of when the kids are napping or at nighttime when they're asleep, mm-hmm. a little bit in the morning, but kids get hyper. He gets hyper, and then it's just a cluster. They run away. Yeah. He's like, oh, you want to play? So now I have a kid running the house and the dog running in the house, and it's just like somebody's going outside.
Yeah, that sounds like chaos, yeah.
So he's getting there. He grabbed Harper. So they were in the backyard playing the other day,
mm-hmm.
and she started squealing and all that, and I'm like, you're not a chew toy, you'll be fine. And he chased her because he's like, I want to play. You're my size. Like, right. Let's play. And so all I hear is, I'm not a chew toy. And she's running away from him.
Oh, and my God. That's so funny.
He gets the back of her jacket and just twists his head a little bit and just drags her ass to the ground.
Oh, wow.
He didn't do anything. He just wanted to play. And she's very upset. Like, oh, my God, he's going to attack me. And I'm laughing because I'm like, you're fine. He's a big baby.
Right.
You're just intimidated because of his size. And it's like, you being hyper, you screaming, you running away is mm-hmm. making the situation worse.
Yeah, exactly. So it's
kind of a win-win because, like, we get to train him to be a good dog with kids and friendly and all that, but we get to train the kids to be good kids to the dog, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Or just, like, to know how to behave around him.
To be self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
To be aware, like, oh, wait a second. By me being stupid loud and making all these crazy noises and flailing my arms,
mm-hmm.
he's going to react like this. He thinks I want to play when I don't. So if I'm just calm, if I'm just normal, it's fine. He's not going to drag my ass to the ground.
Well, right. Yeah, that's such a good point. And, I mean, dogs react really differently anyways. You know, we perceive things very differently than a dog does. So, like, flailing arms and stuff like that might be a sign of aggression or something like that to him. I'm not positive.
It could be
playful. Distress is probably the more likely option. Yeah, so he might come dashing over, and the only thing he can't grab, he can only use his mouth, so he might, like, grab you by the jacket and drag you across the room, bring you to a parent, like, is this thing broken?
Yeah, look at her. She's crying.
She's
what's wrong?
Flailing arms. I don't you probably want this, right? She's running in the yard. I thought she was gonna run away. Brought you this child.
Yeah, so she later that day she climbed onto our patio table, and he
puts to run away.
Like, that's the only place you could think to hide from him. So he puts his paws on the table, and now he stands up, and he's not eye to eye with her, but he's at her level.
That's amazing.
And she's just freaking out, and like, you're okay. Like, if you're if you're that upset about this, go inside.
Yeah.
And play. But he's not gonna hurt you. He's gonna slob on you. He might nibble because despite being massive, he's still very, very much a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
But you're okay.
So, I mean, I have to wonder. Okay, so St. Bernard's, he's 11 months old. And he is, I mean, his head is like...
the size of a beach ball?
It's almost to, like, my nipples.
Yeah,
he
just standing
on... huge. I'm not a tall... I'm 5'8", but he is, like, really tall on me. And he's only 11 months old.
He can put his paws on the top of the fence and stand up.
And look over it.
And, like, we're talking from the shoulders up above the fence.
And you've got, like, a 4.5-foot fence or something like that?
I think it's a 4-foot fence, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
So if we get a bunch of snow next winter, I might have to make, like, a trench so he can't jump over the fence.
That's so funny because he could probably get up over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's only 11 months old and he's that big. Okay, so what blows my mind is these dogs don't come out gigantic.
No, they're just the size of a football.
Yeah, they come out like, yeah, they're a big puppy, but they're not a gigantic puppy. They don't come out the size of a full-grown cat. They come out like these little puppies, and they must just grow so like rapid, you know?
I don't know how.
It's mind-blowing.
To think that something that is the size of my three-year-old is only 11 months old is just...
It's insane.
It's insane to think about.
Yeah, 110 pounds at 11 months old. I don't know. That's just the most incredible, like, rapid growth. What's the life expectancy on them?
That's the downside. Because they're a big breed, it's 8 to 10 years.
8 to 10. Okay.
It's about average.
That sucks. But you do have to... I feel like it could be worse.
Got to just make sure you take them to the vet, get checked up. A lot of big breeds, they have hip issues.
Oh, hip dysplasia? I think it's dysplasia, or something? They're so, just like the joints wear out or something?
Yep, just from being a big dog. I mean, you have all that weight you're pushing around.
Well, I mean, even humans are like that, too.
Yeah.
Like, big people, they wear out faster.
Yep, their knees go out, their ankles, all that kind of stuff, all the joints.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is what it is, like I said, he's so friendly.
Yeah, just a big sweetheart.
Yeah, he just wants to lick you and like have you rub his belly.
He is a literal teddy bear. He is a walking teddy bear. You grab him and he's just this giant puffy floof. I don't know. Dogs are the best.
Yeah, man.
Like,
freaking love them.
So cool.
I've never understood how some people don't like dogs. Like I understand.
I don't know. Yeah,
I understand being like, oh, I don't have the space for the dog. I don't have the time for the dog. I don't have the patience to maintain a dog.
Right.
But how do you not like a dog?
Yeah, I think it comes down more to like, okay, so some people, generally you're one or the other. You're either a cat person or you're a dog person. A handful of people are in between, like the both, right?
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of people kind of like the both. But people who simply don't like dogs, I think it's like it's either an allergy thing or it's like they are slobbier, they are dirtier, you know, like they're higher need, like consistently higher need. So if you're a person who's like super independent, you don't have a lot of time, dog's not going to work for you.
True. Or if you're somebody who doesn't want to pick up after them.
Yeah.
Like dogs in a house, dogs are, once they're trained in a house, they're fine. It's your yard that gets dirty, though. You know, they don't pick a corner in the yard to do their business. They're like, this looks like a good place to take a shit.
Yeah, I'm just going to crap right here, and then tomorrow I'm going to crap 10 feet that direction, and then the next day I'm going to crap on the walkway.
Yep, and then I'm going to go eat that piece of crap from 3 days ago, because now it's nice and hard.
It's nice and dried out. It's like beef jerky.
Oh,
I know. I mean, those are the complaints that I feel like I can understand.
I get it.
But I'm not that person because I love dogs.
Yeah, I think especially with kids, dogs are important to have. It teaches a child to care more than just about themselves, you know, about human life.
Oh, for sure.
They're like, oh, wait, there's these other creatures that are on this planet with us? And they're awesome?
Well, yeah,
like,
exactly.
Okay, cool. Like, I need to not be a dick to them.
Honestly, dude, I think the single most important thing that you learn from a pet, and this is going to be a bummer, is they teach you about death.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. So I remember my first instance with death, and it was from my dog. And my dog's name was Doobie. Yes, my dog's name was Doobie.
Like after the brothers?
I'm pretty positive it's after the J.
Did he like Cheetos?
Did the dog like Cheetos? I was so young, I'm not sure. He was cool. He was kind of a like hardcore, very outdoorsy. Like, he spent most of his time outside. Okay. He would just kind of like roam the countryside. Because we lived in a place where it's like there were houses around, but the houses were like half a mile away,
he's not
quarter
gonna mess
mile away.
With other neighbors and stuff like that.
Not really. He'll just like go out in the woods. But this dog is kind of a badass. Like, he just went out in the woods one day and he didn't come back for a while. And he had gotten hit by a car and he like drug himself back with like a jacked up hip and stuff. And my parents were like, oh my God, what the fuck? So they ran him in, and you know, sure enough, he was fine, but
was just beat up a little bit.
Yeah, but he was just this old badass and whatever. And so I was, I think, oh my God, I had to have been 6, 7, 8 years old, somewhere in there. He was my best friend growing up. And I remember when things started going south for him, he was a golden retriever. Yeah, he's the best. Just his, sweetheart. But he was also a don't fuck with me dog. So he was the dog that I learned don't get in their face.
Yeah.
Keep your face out of his face. Respect his boundaries.
Just because he's not a human doesn't mean he has his own personal bubble. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like he doesn't, he can give a shit. Like if a kid got in his face, he'd growl at you. He never bit at any of us, but he would like, he'd let you know. And that was cool for me because it taught me like, oh, animals have boundaries. But I remember when things started going south because he ended up developing a big tumor on his forehead. And so we had to try like some drugs to try and like try,
reduce the swelling, reduce
it and stuff like that. And it was rough because I got a really, early on, very blunt image of what mortality looked like. And then I remember, of course, when he had to get put down, and it was one of those things where it's like, you don't really get it, but it was the first time I ever saw my parents cry. So I was like, oh, this is a big deal. And then, oh man, this is going to be such a bummer. It sticks out as one of the most memorable moments in my entire life. And it was when he had been gone for probably a week or something like that. And I remember looking out my, because this is a split level house. And so I was in my living room. And there was a big couch that was up against just like a wall of windows, basically. And I remember hopping up on the couch and I looked outside and I was like, oh my God, like, cool, my pup's outside. And so I ran out there, dashed out the door. And like, as I went out the door, leapt onto what I thought was my dog to give him a big hug. And it was a rug. And I remember grabbing the rug and then realizing it and being like, oh my God, he's gone. And it was like this moment where I went like, holy shit, death is final.
Yeah.
You know.
Like it's done.
It is like, oh my God, everything's different. My best friend is gone. So that was an incredibly difficult, and I've told this story enough times that I've like kind of worked through the emotion of all of it. That's why I'm keeping it together. It's rough, man. Oh, like yeah. It teaches you. It's just such an important lesson, you know?
Our first dog we had growing up was actually the first time I ever witnessed death.
Oh, no shit.
We had a border collie. His name is Bandit.
Mm-hmm.
Hyper as hell. And this dog could get out of anything. Yeah. Like, it didn't matter. I remember my dad putting 4x4s down along the base of the fence because he would dig. It didn't matter. He learned to go over the fence. Like we had a phone. He got out one day.
That's amazing.
We got a phone call, and he was 3 blocks away swimming in somebody's pool.
Oh, that's awesome. So like, he sounds like a fun dog.
And I grew up in Kansas, so it was hot. Like, he was like, oh, I'm hot. I'm going to go cool off.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember, again, same thing. Old dog, slowly deteriorating, all that kind of stuff. And I can't remember if my mom was putting him into the car or my dad, but they had him in a blanket. And like, I didn't know what was going on, but like, I could tell they were taking him to the vet, and they put him on the passenger seat, and he did this like semi crappie flop. He was on one side and he like kind of twitched and jumped and like tried to roll over, and then he just stopped.
Wow.
That was it. He was just done.
You literally witnessed him dying.
Yeah. I watched his final movement, and it was, how old was I? I was probably 8 or 9 when that happened. Maybe 7.
God damn.
And that was the first time I ever saw something dead, something not moving.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, more than just like a squirrel or some bit of roadkill or something like that. That was like something that you're connected with, and then you go, whoa.
Yeah, he's just not going to move.
It's the craziest thing,
And like you said, what was weird is I was too young to understand what the hell was going on. Mm-hmm. I was like, why the fuck isn't he moving? Like, but... And I could tell when they were getting him to the car that both my parents were upset.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not knowing what's going on. But once he stopped moving, like, that's when both my parents started to cry a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's happening. I know it's not good.
Yeah, I know this is a big deal.
But I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's so wild. Yeah. It makes you wonder how many people have a similar experience, you know? And I mean, even if you're a cat person, like you can still grow up with a cat, and you know, cats just like live a lot longer, so you might not learn as soon. But...
Yeah, the cats. I mean, our last one that we literally just put down was Well, Christine had him since she was 12. She's 31.
Yeah.
So he was
old kitty cat.
Probably 20, possibly a little older.
Yeah.
And like he was doing good up until about the last year or so when he started getting super skinny and started to shit all over the house, and then just all of a sudden he had this like infection on his face, and it's like your body can't do this.
Well, that's exactly it. I was actually going to talk about euthanasia, but this is a podcast that I want people to listen to, so maybe we'll save that for another one. Oh man, but you know, to bring this into a lighter realm.
So one of the best sayings I've actually heard about, and you can apply this to any animal or any pet that you have, but it was about dogs. Was to a dog is just a part of your life, but to you, you're everything.
Oh right, to the dog, you're everything.
You're their life.
Yeah,
I mean, especially if you get them as a puppy, all they know is you and your house and what you do and all that kind of stuff. They don't know anything else.
Yeah.
So it's like, why not try to give the dog the best life you can? Or cat.
Oh, gosh,
or parakeet, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like with the previous owners. So Hagrid is our St. Bernard. That's what we decided to name him.
Well, it's so funny, too, because like I told Chloe that, and I looked at her, and I was like, do they realize Hagrid's a female name? And she's like, no, it's a Harry Potter thing.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, no, that's a female name. And I looked it up, and I'm like, yeah, see? It's a female name. So it's like... some huge percentage of the time it's normally a female name, but she's like, no. And then she showed me it's a Harry Potter thing. And I'm like, okay. So I didn't grow up with Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So
see, that's our generation. So
well, we're the same generation. There's just like, either you grew up with Terminator or you grew up with Harry Potter. I grew up with Terminator.
We grew up with Harry Potter. And for those of you who don't know who Hagrid is, he is the, he's in charge of, he's like the groundkeeper. He's in charge of like the wildlife stuff at the school.
He's a massive bearded dude, right?
He is like 10 feet tall and just covered in fur.
Yeah.
Just bearded, long hair, tall as hell. So we're like, that's a perfect name for him.
It is literally a perfect name. Once I understand who this guy is, I was like, oh yeah, he is a walking St. Bernard. He is human version of a St. Bernard.
And if you ever read the books or watch the movies, he's super lovable. He's like one of the best characters in the series.
He's universally loved, right? Exactly. Like kind of everybody who watches Harry Potter loves Hagrid.
Exactly. Yeah. I completely spaced off where I was going with that.
Well, that's okay.
Anyways,
so that's how you ended up with that name for this beast.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny because we have Hagrid and Hades.
Yeah, completely opposite. I know, that's right. Like the big sweetie that takes care of things, and then the guardian of the underworld.
Yes.
So
what do you guys have a name picked out yet?
So we've bounced back and forth a little bit, and then last night in conversation, wife and I were tipping back a couple of White Claws.
Living it up large,
a white girl wasted on a Wednesday.
Got $4. I want to get drunk.
Pretty much, and I don't know how, but somehow the name Hannibal came up, and it dawned on me like, oh my God, that is fucking brilliant, because this dog looks like he wants to eat your face. It's so weird to look at a chiseled face, hardcore looking, like a glaring Labrador.
Is he going to have a couple of friends for dinner?
You know it, dude. It's going to eat your liver with some fiber beans. And a bottle of Chianti.
Fantastic.
So once that name came up, I was like, oh, that's it. Prior to that, we're kind of leaning towards Duncan because he's kind of a derpy sweetheart. And Duncan is kind of like a nice, it's a nice name. You know,
that's the name of the cat we just put down.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, it was Duncan.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So I'm glad you didn't name him Duncan.
Well, we still might, but I'm pushing for Hannibal because I just think that's such a cool name. And I'm an Anthony Hopkins fan. Like, I adore that man.
Well, and so. Hannibal was it's a normal name.
Mm-hmm.
It's just associated with Anthony Hopkins in that role. And how fucking fantastic he was at it.
He was amazing at it.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the whole series? There's like three or four.
I've seen the first two. I have not seen the third. Yeah.
And Hannibal Rising and stuff like that.
So, yeah, I've only seen the first two.
You should see them. They're all pretty good. One of them's got Edward Norton in it.
Really?
Yeah, and he plays the detective, and he's trying to figure out. It's a it's a prequel, I believe, and he's trying to figure out, like, who you know who done who killed this family and stuff like that. And it's really good.
Edward Norton is the. It is okay. So I want to say that he's my favorite, but he's probably in the top three favorite actors.
I can see that.
He is one actor that I have faith that he always chooses a movie that I like. So okay. I don't think I've ever seen a movie that he's in that I don't like.
Don't watch The Hulk.
Oh, he's in The Hulk.
He's in. I think it's the first Hulk movie.
Oh, that's surprising.
Yeah, he was.
That's really surprising. He did a superhero movie.
Yeah, he was okay. And then they didn't like the way he portrayed the character or whatever.
Oh, he was the Hulk?
He was the Hulk. He played Eric Banner? He played the scientist guy who turns into the Hulk.
Okay.
And they were originally going to use him for the MCU and all that stuff, but they axed him and then switched actors. Personally, I think that he's a fantastic actor. He should not do superhero movies.
No. That's the thing is like The Illusionist, American History X,
Fight Club,
Exactly.
Was it Red Dawn Rising? The one where he plays the Boy Scout leader guy.
I think that might be.
Is that Red Moon Rising?
I'm not positive.
Something like that. Yeah.
Rounders is phenomenal. I've never seen Rounders. 25th Hour. I love this man.
I need to watch more.
Oh, dude, Eddie, he's the bomb. Damn it, Birdman, he's amazing in Birdman.
I forgot he's in Birdman. I've not seen that forever.
Yeah. So, Edward Norton's just like he's one of my favorites.
So is he? When you say one of your favorites, will you go see a movie just because he's in it? Then,
mm-hmm.
Okay,
totally.
See, I'm
again. That's one of those things, right? He chooses such good. Stories that I tend to go with him.
I'm not so much that way with actors. I mean, there are like I love my Morgan Freeman. I do like Brad Pitt, DiCaprio.
Definitely.
But I'm that way with directors.
So if
Tarantino comes out with a new film,
You have to.
Bet your ass I'm gonna go see that.
You have to go see the Tarantino movie. He is incredible.
Oh, I'm drawing a blank. He did Inception and the Batman trilogy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're always talking about him.
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
Shit.
This is not shit.
Shit. So, right now, somebody Nolan. In the comments. Christopher Nolan.
Mm-hmm. If Christopher Nolan comes out with a new film, I will go see it just because it's Nolan.
I'm going to sound like a hipster, but Guy Ritchie is my man.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, and
I've
Snatch.
I've seen Snatch once.
Rock and Rolla. Have you seen Rock and Rolla?
I've not seen Rock and Rolla.
Dude. That movie has so much style. You have to see it. It is phenomenal.
So speaking of style, so because we do a YouTube channel and we're both into videography and all that kind of stuff, do you go see a movie? And even if the movie is so-so, like you can appreciate a well-filmed scene.
Okay.
Like you'll be like, oh, wow, so, I love the way they use the camera and the special effects and all that kind of jazz.
My wife loves Hitchcock movies.
Okay.
So she'll put on an old-ass Hitchcock movie. She'll put on The Birds or something like that. The Apartment. Not The Apartment.
Psycho?
Rear Window. Psycho.
Is it Psycho? Okay.
So she'll put on something like that, and I'll pop in because I don't necessarily watch the whole thing. I wish I could say that I can handle the flow of it. They tend to be slow. They're slow. They're very building movies. They're incredibly well written. But what I tend to geek out on, and I annoy my wife to no end, is I geek out on the lighting. The lighting, the angles, the perception of it.
So we saw Psycho's the one with the hotel, right?
Yep.
Okay, that's the only Hitchcock film I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it for what it was. Going in knowing like this set the bar for horror movies. If it wasn't for this film, all of these wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, I'm pretty positive it's a Hitchcock movie. I feel like an idiot if it's not.
It is. I know at least the movie I'm talking about I know is a Hitchcock film. I don't know if it is Psycho. I think it is called Psycho though. Guy places his dead mom as well and kills people that stay at the hotel.
Yeah, Bates Hotel.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's called Psycho.
Yeah, I think so.
But one of the things I loved about it is because he knew he was filming in black and white, all the blood you see in that, he used chocolate syrup.
Oh, okay.
Because it gave...
Yeah, it's a Hitchcock film.
It gave the flow of blood. It looks like blood on screen, but it's black and white, so you're not going to know what color it is. And it was brilliant. I'm like, that is such an incredibly smart thing to do.
Yeah, it's a simple thing just to guarantee that it's going
to
look different.
You send your errand boy to the local grocery store with $10 and be like, bring back as much chocolate syrup as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. Absolutely yeah. Brilliant.
And then that's how they filmed the pornography afterwards, because they'd tongue bath it off of you.
That same errand boy
exactly
would make his keep that day.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, man. Yeah, so Hitchcock, yeah. So he's one of the ones that I like to geek out on the cinematography of it. It's so cool. It's so far ahead of his time.
I see. I also really like, I can picture his face. He did an interview on Top Gear. He did Apollo 13. He did...
Is it like Ridley Scott or something?
He did Rush. Ron Howard.
Oh, Ron Howard's the best.
Ron Howard is fantastic.
Yeah, he nailed it with Rush. That movie is just a masterpiece.
He's one of those guys, like, he makes movies, I feel, that just interest him.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, Formula One back in the 60s and 70s? That sounds fun as hell. I'm going to make that film.
Oh, right.
I want to see that, so I'm going to make that.
It was some downright, like, dangerous as hell outlaw shit.
Yeah,
like,
and he portrayed it perfectly. This party life.
Perfection.
And, you know, living on the edge and all that and doing everything to win every single race you can. And
I know. Well, and that's the thing. Like, that story was just – it's such an incredible story to begin with that, like, that had to be told. And my hope is that somebody's going to do the same with Group B Rally because the 80s rally scene was no different in terms of just how buck wild it was. Well, just the edge of insanity.
Well, you have everything, and that's just talking about the drivers.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have the spectators where they're like, yeah, you can stand on the road. That's cool. Like, just a heads up, people are going to do 120 around that corner.
I know.
But if you want to stand there and take a picture, that's cool.
The craziest thing is that I think it started out as just photographers going, like, just to the edge.
The
they
shot.
Want to get this incredible photo to nut jobs who purposely stand in the middle of the road to see if they can jump out of the way at the last minute.
Which guy would you be?
I'd be the dude in the tree taking aerial pictures because they're
I'd
nice
be like,
pictures.
You see that Wrangler over there with a full cage in it? That's me.
Yeah. See, I'd probably be... I'm closer to the dickhead who'd be driving, though. Like, when it comes to driving, I tend to be a little more of a nutcase.
Yeah, I have a feeling that if you and I were on a rally team and you were driving, I'd just piss you off the whole time. And halfway through the race, I would just fuck with you because you're being a dick. Like, I mean, in the nicest way possible.
So you'd be like, you'd say, you'd like be giving me the coaching, like the lines, like, okay, right three over crest. And like, you would say like, left three over crest when it's a right, and I just like almost put us in the ditch, or there'd be some kind of error.
You'd be swearing, and so I'd just be like, fuck it.
Yeah. Well, that's perfect. That's exactly what happened, is because I'd get like so tense and so angry. I'd be like, God fucking damn it, Donnie.
I just have this image of me taking the map and saying, here, you read it, and I just toss it at you as you're driving.
Just like a shitty married couple. Yeah, pretty much. That is, I'm sure, what would happen.
You're going to take a fucking left if you feel like it, but you're being kind of an asshole right now.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Do what you want.
My God. That is so spot on.
God, we should get into Group B rally racing.
Well.
Oh, we should get into some hardcore rally racing.
It sounds like Rallycross is coming back this summer.
It
so
does.
The shitbox Civic might stay at home with us for a little longer.
I have to rally race that thing.
Oh, you're up, dude. You're next.
As you know, I love racing.
Mm-hmm.
You
love racing?
Well, no, because you have some.
Really?
You have some car guys. I'm not going to name anything. But you have some guys that build their cars and they never drive their cars.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? They get all the scene points. It's fast on the street. They might do a couple street races here or there. But they never track their shit.
Yeah.
I'm not that person. Like, I'm like, okay, cool, I built this. I'm going to go beat the fuck out of it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for better or for worse, you are that guy. You're like, I don't know. Hey, let's drive 9 hours one way to Topeka, 10 hours to Topeka, Kansas, and then we're gonna go SCCA the crap out of this thing for an evening, and then we're gonna drive back with basically no bushings in the rear subframe.
Yes, and a questionable coolant tank that may or may not seal enough.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, it's an amazing story.
Exactly, and it was fun.
It was a blast. That was one of the times that I willingly relinquished control over the scenario, where I was just like, okay, like, this is going to be a good story. I have a lot of PTO with my job, so I guess if this is up. And you're the one who's way more on the shoestring. Because just like, I've got no PTO.
I think I had two weeks at the time.
I don't have a ton of money to just like, way better now. At the time, you didn't make as much, so if you had to like rent a U-Haul, that was going to kind of suck.
It was
going to
go on a credit card, and I'd be paying it off still.
Exactly. It wouldn't be that bad, but you know, it'd be so much more of a pain in the ass scenario, and I love that you just threw caution to the wind. It made for such a fun story.
I remember talking to the wife beforehand, before we went down, I'm like, I should probably apply for a credit card. Just in case.
Oh, did you just for the trip?
Yeah.
As emergency?
Just in case.
That's the smartest thing that you did for that whole trip.
Because I'm like, I know how I drive. And I have an on-off switch. And there's no in-between. It's either just I'm going to work, I'm doing the speed limit, I have my kids in the car. Mm-hmm. And then there's like, I'm going to put my foot down for every fucking corner. I'm going to squeal the tires. I'm going to try to get the biggest smile I can out of the thing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's why an E30 is the perfect car for you. Because they're wonderfully forgiving. And they're very fun to drive.
They're very fun to drive.
Very fun to drive. So, do you want to give the people an update about where the E30 is at?
Yeah, so if you actually walk about 75 feet that way, you can run into the E30. That's where it's at.
Yeah, that is precisely where it's at.
No, so...
This fucking guy.
So the SR20 is back in for test fitting still. We have the intercooler mounted, and Cody Hendrickson, a buddy I work with, who's arguably, I'm going to put him in the top three. I don't want to say the best because I don't know all the welders in the building, but easily top three welder in our building, came over, and I'm drinking.
No way, are you?
I'm probably going to pass out somewhere.
I thought these were chocolate milk. Okay.
You're on my couch. I could easily just fall over and go to sleep.
You could.
Let's actually pull this out. I could just do that too. Mm-hmm. So he came over and TIG welded all the intercooler piping. So that's where we're at. It looks incredible. Mm-hmm. I have a bit of a chubby, and I'm excited to see this thing on the road.
So you guys will see in an upcoming video of the Dad Mods channel. So like our main channel, Dad Mods 1, though we don't call it Dad Mods 1. So that video will be out eventually. You know, we're getting them out as quickly as we can. One of the coolest
kids.
Yeah, pretty much. One of the coolest things about this intercooler setup is so it's ordered through CX Racing, and we figured out it's most likely through for the later model version.
Yeah, they say it fits 84 to 91, but we noticed where the charge pipes connect to the intercooler actually rub on the front fascia and the radiator support.
Yeah,
so we decided to put that thing down, flip it, and reverse it.
I always like a Missy Elliott reference. So it's flipped over, and the irony though is that it's even better. It's even a sexier setup.
Yeah. I lose high beams, which sucks, but what you see are these 90 bend charge pipes going into the intercooler, and it just looks mean.
It looks really cool.
It looks like it means business. It's ready for the track.
And on the performance side of things, you have so little charge pipes.
Oh yeah,
I'd say you maybe have 4 feet of charge pipe
on the intake side. There's like what, two bends, and it's maybe a foot and a half, and then the turbo side, it's 2 feet.
Yeah, and just something like that. Nice. I'm pretty sure it's under 4 feet of piping.
Yeah, and we figured out a way to run the intake pipe off of the turbo, and it'll fit underneath the charge pipe and tuck the filter nice in the corner. I'm going to end up cutting brackets for where the ABS module was mounted, but there's actually some pre-drilled holes there, and Cody came up with the brilliant idea. He's like, just make a bracket, bolt it down, and we'll just make it work. We'll weld it right to the intake so it's nice and secure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's turning out beautiful. He's talented. Like,
he knows.
You can tell
shit.
He's done his fabrication for years.
He was explaining to me the difference in wire used for aluminum TIG welding.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of gave him this look of like, I have no fucking clue what you're talking about. And I told him, like, I love the fact that your talent is definitely welding. That is your area. Like, I'll wire your dash for you on your Nova.
Mm-hmm.
And I can talk electrical shit all day long, and you're not going to know most of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel when you talk to me about welding, though.
Oh, right, right.
You're talking about the wire sizes and the speed and all that, and I'm like, I have maybe 20 hours of welding in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have much.
Yeah, well, you're not too bad at it, though. The couple of beads that I've seen, the better beads that I've seen from you.
I would never do anything that somebody's life depended on.
Yeah, well, no, I would not have you structural.
I would not weld on your front clip for you.
I have a lot of time into welding, and I don't even know if I would want to do something that is like life and death.
Yeah, that's like a sub base for a utility truck.
Yeah.
But if they're like, hey, I need a ground stud tacked on, I'm your guy. I can handle ground studs. Mm-hmm. I could weld up an exhaust if I had to. But if you're like, build me this motor mount, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, see, that's where I'm fine with that. I'm fine with doing a front clip. But, you know, stuff where it's like, there's more than enough weld that's going to be going on to it. I feel like I can, like, I understand the penetration enough that I can go, oh, okay, well, this is a good bond. Like, I can do that. I understand, like, what the heat looks like and all those kind of things. And that's most likely the foundation of doing something major structural. But I want formal education before I did anything that was really, really a big deal. Whereas Cody, he's been educated in
it. So he's been, I'm not going to say our place of employment. That reminds me, you might have to blur out their logo off of his sweatshirt when you go to do post-editing. Okay. But he's been there 8 years, 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in fabrication the entire time. He was a lead. He oversaw people that, you know, did sub bases. If you don't know what a sub base is, so we get bare chassis in. The sub base goes onto that, and that bolts down, and that houses all the outriggers, the pedestal for the unit, all that bolts right onto it. So it's like the main structural piece to tie our stuff to the chassis. So he welded that. He knows how to read all the prints, all that kind of stuff. And like I said, we're now in service, and he gets all the welding jobs.
Well, let's let's put this into an easier to understand language. How thick is the steel that he's welding?
So if it's a sure plate, which goes onto the side, and then that gets bolted onto the chassis frame. God, how half inch thick? Three quarters thick?
Okay,
it's pretty thick stuff.
There you go, guys. So that's the language. Some thick stuff. You're explaining very specifics about the trucks.
Yeah.
And if I know that it's a three quarter inch piece or a half inch piece, I know that like that thing is meant to carry like tons.
Yeah, and some of the stuff he had to weld was even thicker than that. I mean, the plates
were pretty wild.
The pedestals bolted down. I mean, that's an inch thick.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Like that holds all the weight. So when you're 100 feet in the air, that's what's holding your ass on the ground.
Yeah. Well, you have to assume, I'm guessing those welders do multiple passes.
Oh,
because
yeah.
A single bead is not going to fill that whole groove.
Yeah, they have standards. I can't tell you what those standards are because that's not my area.
Right.
But yeah, they're like, oh, you need to make three passes at this much depth of penetration.
I know. It's so cool. It's like I geek out on that stuff. So I don't know. Like, do you follow anything on Facebook, Instagram that's like welding specific fabrication?
I should. I can appreciate a beautifully built exhaust header or intercooler piping or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like Tony Nussel's car, the intercooler piping on that is perfection.
Yeah, it is.
So beautiful. I can appreciate all of it. I don't follow it as much as I should.
Mm.
And I think that's more of just not knowing the language.
So it's a really easy channel to follow, or not channel, an easy account. It's called Weld Porn. And it is
this on Reddit?
Precisely that. Yeah, right. Is precisely that. So you can follow them on Instagram, you can follow them on Facebook, and it's just it's a bunch of like they're tradesmen, mostly tradesmen. There's some people that just like kind of have their own businesses, whatever. Right. Basically, like they're just like the best welders ever. and you see how incredible some of these guys are. It's like we look at Cody and we just go like, oh my God, this guy's like, he's stacking dimes on this thing. It looks super nice.
And he's just like, eh, that's okay. I've done better.
Yeah. And he's super casual about it. But there's guys that make him look like a novice. Yeah. And here Cody's an excellent welder. And there are people that will just, like, the weaving that they'll do on these, like, multi-pass, super thick pipelining kind of stuff where they're little, like, oh, they're some of the best welders in the world.
Yeah.
They look like robots. They're so good.
And they get paid for it. I mean, you have underwater,
for sure.
Underwater welders. Like, that's a whole nother world.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine attempting to do that job. Like,
it'd be wild.
If you took two pieces of metal, put them in a vise for me, and said, I want you to weld these two together, I can do it. I might struggle with it, but I can do it. I can't even imagine to be like, okay, so you're going to be underwater welding this pipe up. You need to, A, monitor what you're doing. Yeah. You need to monitor your oxygen. You need to make sure you don't get eaten by anything. Like, that just, there's just so many
you
things.
Don't get eaten by
there's
anything.
So much shit that goes into play. Like,
wow.
I can't even fathom trying to do that.
So I've never thought about that.
Like, you're in water.
So, okay.
You're in the ocean.
If you're in the ocean and you're on a oil rig that's in the middle of the Atlantic,
there's sharks.
There's literally sharks. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine. If you're welding, I can't imagine a shark would want to go anywhere near you because the bright light.
So.
But, I mean, maybe there's one that's a little derpy. And he's really hungry.
Does he have a little bit of St. Bernard in him?
I might. I don't know. Like, you know, he might have, I don't know, like he might have a brain injury. And
the shark is from Louisiana.
Exactly. He's got worms in the brain. And I don't know, man. I've never thought about the fact that, like, yeah, you might have a jellyfish that comes up and stings your ass.
Yeah, what happens if you're if you're mid stitch weld or whatever kind of weld you're, I'm throwing out the one welding term I know. Yeah. But if you're mid weld, and yeah, you get stung by a jellyfish, like,
oh my God, that's so crazy.
What do you do there?
I mean, you needed somebody to piss on it. Clearly,
who? It's you. It's you and the jellyfish.
Well, yeah, exactly. I don't know. It's really an interesting. I'm sure there's people that have stories. You know,
if you have a story about welding in the ocean getting stung by a jellyfish, write us. Give us your phone number, your address. Like, we want to invite you. I
want to
hear that story in person.
We don't need their address for them to come out to us.
I guess they need our address. I want to hear
that
in person, though.
So if one of the 30 people that are watching this.
Well, I can cross Max off the list of that. Did not get stung by a jellyfish.
Yeah, precisely. Oh, man. Yeah, that's pretty nuts. So, you know, huge thanks to Cody.
Yeah.
We still have to pay him 12 more cheeseburgers, 13 cheeseburgers.
Yeah, I don't know. He never gave me a price.
It's just 13 cheeseburgers.
I'll probably just toss him $60 and say thank you. But I am really tempted to try and mail him a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
It would be funny. I mean, okay, so, like, where that came up with is you were like, okay, well, I'm going to pay you in cheeseburgers, and then you came up with this arbitrary word number of 13.
I don't know why 13 either.
Yeah, and just then you told me that somebody mailed a potato.
Yeah, I was reading an article on Facebook, so you know it's true, about pranks that people were playing on each other, and apparently this chick, her brother, twice now mailed her a potato.
That's
and
amazing.
Not like put it in a box and shipped it to her through like a UPS. He just put stamps on it and put it in the Dropbox and they just shipped it to her.
Jesus.
So I'm curious now if I took a Big Mac that was still wrapped and I put some stamps on it and put it in the Dropbox, would USPS send it to him?
I don't know. That's a really good question. It's like, what are their limitations of shipping stuff?
We should find out. Like, what can we send?
Can we mail a banana to Albuquerque? I don't know. Maybe.
If you'd like random shit mailed to you, send us your address.
Yeah, or send it to us, and then we'll talk about it on the podcast.
I would love to see what we could get.
That would be funny. If we had, like, a mailbag segment where people just, like, mail shit to us, we could get our P.O. box finally set up.
It's motivation to move forward with what we've been talking about for the last 2 years.
Like, we should finally incorporate. Well, you know, we need a funding stream to justify that.
If you'd like to fund us, we'll give you our address.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Well, hey, and there's kind of a cool update about the YouTube channel. And I hope someday we're looking back on this and we're going like, the days when we were like excited to almost hit 500 subs. I hope that we look back on
that.
We're close. We're really close. I think it's like 497 or something like that.
Nice. I just need to create 3 more accounts.
Yeah, you're good. That's hilarious. Yeah. So, yeah, it's super cool. I mean, as far as like the monetization stuff goes, we are like in view in minutes. And this is what's super cool about our channel is we have amazing performance for views and watch time and stuff like that. What we don't have is like huge subscriber count. And I think that's because like we provide like we make videos that people like want to watch and continue.
Trying to pay attention.
Hey, we're back.
So yeah, so our subscribers.
Yeah, so as far as the subscribers go, it just kind of comes down to like I think it's an issue of just the communities we're trying to reach, the people who want to continue watching these videos. It's very specific.
Yeah,
it's like right, you either have a shoebox or you've got an E30 or you've got a Subaru or whatever, Cruiser. Or most likely it's the cars, you know.
Or you're a DIY dad who's doing stuff around the house and you're like, oh, this workbench, right. Cool. Or paint booth or whatever.
The spray booth has gotten a shitload of attention. Yeah, exactly.
We're so close. Mm. And I'm really happy we don't do this. But we're not in your face about it either, you know? We're not like,
no.
Like and subscribe, click all the buttons, and get the notifications, and all that kind of jazz.
No, we don't beg people for clicks.
We don't bully people into liking our shit.
Yeah.
And well, I'm really happy we continue to stay that way. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some pride there of saying, our channel has grown naturally, and we haven't begged for a single person to subscribe to us.
No, it's quality over quantity, mm-hmm. too. It's just like we're trying to put out good shit.
We're letting the videos speak for themselves.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, this is who we are. This is what we like doing. This mm-hmm. is what we're capable of. You like it? Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I know. It's some of those channels out there, like, yeah, they grow rapidly, but... you know, it's a lot of it is really clickbaity, and a lot of it's like it's just not very good. And you have to assume that like their like audience retention numbers are super low.
Yeah, you know?
People click on it and they're just like, oh, this is trash.
This is the second time today I've had this exact same conversation.
Oh, really?
I'm not gonna throw out any information. I'll give anything away.
Mm-hmm.
Another YouTube page. Involving local enthusiasts
mm-hmm.
is about, and they do a lot of like interview style stuff, which mm-hmm. is cool. But my buddy Ryan's at work, and I at work today, we're talking about like, where's this going?
Right.
Like you're earning all the points within your group of friends, but you're not telling any stories.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, what's your goals?
Yeah. Well, and hopefully, because I'm going to root for everybody because want everybody like to do a good job because there's a bazillion people in the world. We can all have a big audience. Yeah. But
Duluth is spoiled with car communities. Like, I want to see mm-hmm. our car community shine the most because we are so lucky to have what we have.
Oh, we really do. We've got a pretty amazing.
That have racetracks. I'm looking at you, Topeka. That have racetracks in the shit car community.
It's so surprising, yeah. It's just blows my mind that Duluth doesn't have a racetrack, but that's a whole different conversation.
On the next podcast.
You know, I think, like, we did so much research prior to creating a YouTube channel, and we spent so much time recording. We literally recorded for an entire year.
Yeah.
And, busted our, sort of cut our teeth trying to figure this out before we actually released it.
I'm pretty sure we had an entire series recorded before we...
Yeah.
I think we almost had two. We had the Pit Cruisers done for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to do, I think, the bus next. But then the Subaru blew up.
Correct.
And I want to say we were like halfway through the Subaru before we finally announced to everybody, like, hey, we're doing stuff.
Oh, it was pit cruisers.
Was it just pit cruisers?
Okay. Yep. So
I thought we were farther along than that when we first
released. Yeah, it was only the pit cruisers. Yeah. So we recorded for a year before we actually started releasing stuff. And that's because we just knew that we needed all of that time to practice, and we did our best on recording all of it. And the irony is that the Pit Cruiser series was actually pretty decent. There isn't a lot of watch on it, but
for our first ever build series and our first ever attempt at doing a YouTube channel, it's incredible to watch the Pit Cruiser series and then you watch the Subaru series right after that, and how you could tell, like, we figured shit out.
Oh, we totally did.
Our camera action's way better. Just being more focused about being more informational, all that kind of stuff is way better. And it's incredible. Like, this is only from one project to the next, and we've grown so much.
Yeah.
And then you start watching. Just
being comfortable in front of the camera, too. Yeah. That was a huge part of it.
And then you start watching the Ford series or the E30 series or getting ready for Power Cruise, and you can just tell, like, we treat you guys like you're in the room. Like, we're just like, oh, there's a camera, no big deal. Let's just be us and roll with it.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. You know, we're just always trying to produce better shit. I mean, that's the end of the day. I mean, and like, I would love, you know, it's like we look at all these people, we look up to them because they're like YouTube rich, you know, like they've been super successful. Hoonigan just like bought this massive warehouse in Compton. Massive.
And then there's the gentleman that bought the racetrack down in Florida.
That is Cletus McFarlane.
So it would be cool, but at the end of the day, I am happy to say that I have documentation of bullshitting with my friend building cool shit.
Well, and the trouble is, I love that. There's a million car pages, and unfortunately it dilutes things because it's like everybody can upload, so that dilutes all of the car scene. So even though 80-90% of it is trash, and I'd like to think that we produce it in a way that's, and I've been told by a handful of people now that's like the videos that we produce are like, they look like they could be on cable TV. Because that's been our goal since day one, is like, you're a movie buff.
Oh, yeah.
I've been doing videography for quite a while now. And, you know, I wanted this thing to be, I wanted it to look as beautiful as possible and to look as professional as possible. And I'd like to think that it stands out as being, like, pretty good production value.
I think so. I mean, we were watching the Grand Tour the other night, and we were watching the episode where they're in Mongolia. And they built their car and they drove it 500 miles, I think is what it is, 600 miles. They use GoPros for a ton of shit.
Yeah, they did.
We have GoPros.
Yeah, I know.
They're comfortable on camera. We're comfortable on camera. Yeah. Like, we're like the basic cable version of Top Gear.
we're a couple
of buddies just doing cool adventures and building stuff together.
We are the public access.
We come on Wednesdays after the Antique Roadshow.
Yeah, precisely. So I mean, we'll see where everything goes. I mean, we're just gonna keep doing what we're doing.
But at the end of the day, I remember when we first had this conversation, we went to a place called Julie's and had breakfast because I got their biscuits and gravy. Incredible! Yep. Shout out to them. I remember having this conversation, and we were like, okay, well, we need to have some set goals. If we're going to do this, let's not overreach it. And, like, what's the most important things that we need out of this? It was to get shit done and have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And what have we done in 3 years? We have gotten some shit done, and we've had a ton of fun.
We've had a lot of fun. Well, one of the other aspects of it that we had talked about too was like, we're creating a little bit of a like a legacy, like it's something that our kids can look back on and go,
yeah,
who was my dad in his early 30s, or who was my dad in his late 20s, and
watch this.
Yeah, and if they care, you know, I mean, I don't know if they'll ever care.
When they're old enough to watch, YouTube probably won't be a thing. Well, maybe
YouTube will always be a thing. Still be a thing. I think as long as the internet's a thing, like, YouTube will be a thing. But if I could watch a video of my dad, because my dad is a big canoeing dude, like he was kind of a legend in canoeing in the area. If I could go back and see him like building the canoe that he
sweet.
Rode up the St. Lawrence, or if it was like, you know, whatever, some camping or whatever he was a guru in at the time.
Yeah, these adventures he went on.
Yeah, not saying we're a guru in anything, but like, you know, is something where he's competent and he made a video about it. I would give anything to watch that.
Yeah, that would be sweet as hell.
So I have to, my hope is that my kids can go and like look back and go, oh, that's when Dad was young. <You know>? Now he's an old fart and wrinkled.
That old blue Ford sitting out in the garage that hasn't ran in 10 years. Like, oh.
God, I hope.
Well, I hope that's not the case.
Ran in 10 years.
I'm imagining you like with some form of disability or something like that. Like
Jesus Christ.
You're old. Like you're in your late 90s. Like you're not getting.
What the fuck,
you're
dude?
Not getting to the project.
Wow.
You're just an old timer that's like, oh, I'm going to get back to that project.
Okay, fair enough.
You know what I mean? Maybe not disability, but you know what
sure.
I mean.
Sure.
You're that guy. Like,
got a couple of limbs missing. And
no, you're just the old timer that's like, I know that's been sitting for 10 years and it's on my to-do list, but do I really have time to get it back on the road? But okay. I can see your kids be like, oh, yeah, that's right. Like I remember going down to Back to the 50s when we were 10 and having a picnic and walking around the car show and then watching the build series. Like, oh, shit. Like, this is how they built the car.
That's how this thing came together.
This is how it came to be. Like, I can understand my dad hung on to it for so long, despite it now possibly, you know, sitting or whatever, or being electric swap and everybody enjoying it.
Yeah,
which
right.
is probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
I'm
you know.
Sorry I called you disabled and old and deteriorating. I'm sorry, it's funny because I
well, my mind went to like, what the fuck age is he saying
like
this about?
Like,
oh, I'm a disabled 45-year-old. Like, you know, like, I was just like, where's this going? Okay, I get
this,
it.
This
now.
Could be next week. Who knows?
Yeah. Fucking A, dude.
No. But like, the BMW to me is my forever car. I know I'm gonna have that for probably,
well,
hopefully till the day I die.
Donnie's forever car is probably a 10-year car.
Ouch!
Yeah, you went through cars so fast, dude.
I've had this car for almost 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Had it for four.
And so, is the longest you had a car prior to this?
Oh God, 3 years.
Oh, okay. Well, that's still pretty good.
The legacy wagon I've had for a while. I traded it and then I got it back. I traded it for a 2.5 RS. That was an auto.
Oh.
And then I traded it back because I'm like, you know what? As cool,
God, that's right.
As cool as this car is, it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the wagon. And then everybody switched to Euro. And then I'm like, I'm going to follow the trend. And I sold it and bought a Jetta. And I instantly regretted it.
That's
and I've
right.
never had that car back
well,
since.
Well, it was also the 2-point slow, which
oh, God,
is
I love
a,
that dumb thing.
Yeah, you know, it was...
I slept naked in the back of that thing a handful of times.
In the Jetta?
No, in the Legacy.
The Jetta was the 2-point slow.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Jetta was the 2-point slow.
Okay.
The wagon
so,
was
yes,
the
wagon
was
the
2.2 slow.
Yeah. The EJ22E. Yes. Like the most reliable Subaru motor ever made.
Yeah, just slow as hell.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't break it.
No, you can't. You literally can't. Yeah, man. Crazy.
Life. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's just life.
That is what it is. Well, I mean, should we... let's wrap this thing up.
I'm fine with
I'd
that.
Say we've done did it. We've talked about dogs. We've talked about the
cars,
channel.
We've talked about movies. Ron Howard.
Talked about Ron Howard and his sexy red hair.
Talked about you and 50-ish
being disabled.
Years.
Okay, we got a lot to look forward to. We'll get back to euthanasia, you guys. Just shoot me in the head.
Do I need to take you to the hospital in a blanket?
Yeah, I guess. Wrap me up and hit me with a bat. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for watching another episode of the Brews of the Dudes podcast. We will see you guys next week.
Peace.
Bye-bye.